Oh, yes, indeedy. Lee Morgan on trumpet, Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Billy Higgins on drums, Barry Harris on piano, and Bob Cranshaw on bass. They all bring it together in this tune titled The Sidewinder. It's the title track of Morgan's 1963 album. Yeah, I don't mind reaching back. It's great. Music of another era keeps us grounded even now in the present. That's great stuff. When you do good work, it lasts. This is Lee Stories. I'm Eutrice Lee, and we kind of picking up from where we left off yesterday. We recognize that we're in a morass. We haven't been this deep in a depression, a political depression, in a long time, but there's no question that we're in one now, and we have to start looking, if we haven't already, we have to look for new ways of doing things, new paradigms, new ways of thinking. And we therefore have to examine those things that we have been accustomed to accepting as our political way of life. You know, this is what we do. But look where we are. You can't deny, no matter what side of the political equation you're on, you can't deny that this is totally unacceptable. This is just totally unacceptable. And the more you talk to people, the more you realize and you recognize that it isn't just you. It's not just me. It's a whole nation grappling with this question of how did we get here? And then we realize soon enough that that isn't the real question. You know, we are here. This is where we are. The real question is, how do we get out of this and put something else in place that doesn't make us feel every single day that things are getting worse, that there's no hope or very little hope? That we are not at all part of the equation, that we are not participants in this thing called democracy, that we are more often than not targets of it, victims of it. And there's a whole different way of operating about which we don't know much about. But other people know. There seems to be a crew, a clan, a clan with a C. There seems to be a group of people who are in charge, however, of everything. And we are merely going through a kind of masquerade, a drama of no real consequence if we are still thinking in the old way of how people should function as a country. How should a country bring people together and serve the needs of the people? That's not happening. And there is no sense in pretending that that's what we have now. We don't have it. So what else is there? What do we do now? Political parties seem to have lost much of their use and relevance because even with political parties, we are still suffering from basic things. I mean, we have a disproportionate distribution of wealth, we have massive problems coping with things that are thrown at us at whim, Today you have this set of rules, tomorrow you have a new set of rules. And it is up to us to adjust. We get to react to things that are being done. We have very little participation in the formulation of how things are to be done or what things are to be done. And speaking for myself, I can't remember much of a time in recent memory that people have been so almost despondent about the realities that we have to cope with every single day. How it dehumanizes us to operate this way every single day. There's yet an, you know, there's a new scandal. There is a new thought emanating from the head of Zeus in the White House. And the last thing they are caring about, or seem to be caring about, is what is happening? What is a consequence of their reckless action on the people? I was reading a small article the other day that referenced the rates of suicide going up. And what's new is that the people who are killing themselves now are getting younger and younger. So we can't afford to just push this aside as, well, you know, this is life. And we must go on. So we have now literally open warfare in Washington, D.C. We have a Congress that says it's doing things, and it appears that they're making a strong effort to do things, but at the same time, things are not getting done. Corrective action is having no effect at all on this administration. And you get a sense that the president delights in the chaos he's causing every single day. Marketing it actually as a product. This is how a tough president ought to be. You want to be a tough president, be like me. And trust that I'm doing this all in your name, for your own good. But we had a document that was issued by a group, hundreds, as a matter of fact, of former prosecutors, who said that contrary to Trump's thinking and the thinking of many in his administration, that he's being persecuted for no reason. These former prosecutors, more than 400 of them, have said, in reading the Mueller report, they find way more than enough instances in which the president has broken the law and ought essentially to be impeached. He ought to be brought to account for all of these infractions. And that is just only one set of reactions on one specific document. The Republican Party is showing signs that it's getting really tired of the president's antics. They're getting more and more embarrassed that he has put the reputation, such as it was, of the party on the line, and that he has caused a massive leeching of respect for the party. I don't know how that's going to translate into anything because, of course, this is politics. That's what they say now. A couple of days from now, they'll have a different opinion because party loyalty will count if it should come to the president facing formal charges. The Democratic Party leadership is making all kinds of noises, like it wants to engage in a battle here. Not because of any personal animus with Trump, but because they believe that this president has done so much damage to the office and to the reputation of the country and to the day-to-day lives of millions of Americans that they have to do something. But they're talking. And it's like pushing molasses uphill with a rake, the speed at which they're doing things in Washington. And then you say, well, is this the great United States that we have had these major questions about Donald Trump in play for so many years, actually, beyond the years that he even took office. And still, they can't do anything about it. So, whether it's the Republicans, whether it's the Democrats, and even the progressives, we have progressives taking unusual measures in the way they are relating to our current crisis. They're just going ahead and they're dealing with the electoral process. And we don't have, coming from the progressive world or even the liberal world, we don't have a cogent response. We don't know what they are proposing. We don't know whether they even think it is worth engaging this president in battle. They're waiting to see what the Democrats would do. It's a bizarre point in time. But still, we have to be resolute, I think, in our action, in our thoughts, about what we are entitled to and what do we hold people in office accountable for? What is our alternative? What is our plan? Our plan can't be, well, let's wait and see. This is already past the halfway point of the president's term in office, and he's already predicting that there will be a second term, and we can imagine that it would be more of the same. And for me, I mean, just personally, I'm not exaggerating when I say how depressing it is. As a thinking person, how depressing it is that every single day you expect a shoe to fall, to drop, and it's going to be dropping on us, and it's another bizarre ruling or another bizarre twist, and you just are not able to concentrate. You can't find a peaceful moment during the day to just deal with the things that life presents to you to solve and to cope with and to deal with. Every day, you're enmeshed in somebody else's madness. And there seems to be very little that you can do about it. Well, I happen to think that there's much that we can do about it. It's that we too have succumbed to the. It's you have to give Trump credit. He masterminded this morass. He masterminded the way that the country is right now, the way it is feeling and functioning. He's clearly unfit for office. But we said that early on. It's more than 2 years down the line. And the opposition, the collective opposition, insofar as it exists, really hasn't made it a priority to deal with this question and to get around to doing it. What is the point of dragging out the situation? Is there no alternative but to hurry up and wait, as they say? You have more than 400 former prosecutors saying there's more than enough ammunition here. So why is it so slow? Why is there the hesitancy to engage? The situation is beyond scary. It's a crisis. It's a crisis. We are experiencing a national crisis, and yet the energy being expended is to calm the people down and to make them pretend that nothing really bad is happening, that they can't control, that they don't have a handle on. And it isn't just confined to Washington, D.C., it's all over the country. Everybody's acting like, the gangsterism is what is ruling this country right now. People are crooks. They dishonor their oath of office. They dishonor the Constitution that supposedly rules them and us. They have no sense of obligation. They have no honor, no integrity. And yet they have the power and authority to drag us down with them. And we don't seem to have a line of defense. So I'm asking you today, do you think we have any defense against what is happening to us? If so, what might it be? Or do you think, as many fatalists do, that no matter what is done, it's not going to solve a problem? Certainly not the problems that we are facing. We just have to bear it and push ourselves through. What then is our ideology? What then is our political commitment? How do we see ourselves functioning in a society that is ruled, as I said, by the kakistocrats? The worst elements of our society are in charge of it. They're running things and regulating things and controlling things and us. And their virtues, if I use the word very, very loosely, their beliefs are so alien to what I experienced as an American ideal, an American idea of what citizens are to do the role of the citizen in the society. The role of the much revered Constitution and our supposed subservience to it. We are supposed to obey. We are supposed to obey the law. That's what regulates our society and keeps things constant. But it's a mess. And the people controlling things right across the board, they're just hopelessly ill-suited for any kind of leadership at all. You know, they're operating outside, out of their league altogether. They're not asking anybody for any advice. They're simply taking orders and executing the plan. What are we doing besides being tourists in our own day-to-day experiences? So we should ask ourselves some hard questions, and let's do that today. What is going on with us? What are we waiting for? Who are we waiting for? Do we believe in anything anymore that requires us to defend our stake, because our lives literally depend on it? Are we, in fact, cowards, refusing to take on anything that might imperil us, even though we disagree so sharply with this administration? Are we bringing to task the great Democratic Party and other parties that are consumed with winning the next election rather than winning more ground against this administration every single day? What are we doing? Are we finally to admit that we are frauds? We talk stuff, but we're not committed to doing anything. But this is not, as we have already found out, and it's going to get worse, this is not some theoretical exercise. This is real life. And still, we are looking at the worst people in control of things and doing nothing about removing them from office. They disgrace the country. They disgrace the Constitution that they say they revere. And in fact, they gloat that politics has given them a massive leg up in terms of their capacity to earn money, do business. Politics is great business. Just last night, I was on my phone checking on news around the place, and an item came up about my country from which I came, Trinidad and Tobago. It's a little nation comprising two islands, Trinidad and Tobago. Okay. And the article concerned the top 10 richest people in Trinidad and Tobago. So in the presentation, they followed a particular format. The format is they post a picture of the individual, only one woman in 10 of them, and only one who was not Indian among them. But the one who was not Indian was most certainly wrapped up and ensnared in the FIFA, the football scandal, in which it was shown that he had accepted bribes and basically had gone astray in terms of FIFA guidelines and even the law. Okay. Now, what was curious was, so they would post a picture of the individual who was so filthy rich now, one of the top 10 filthy rich people in Trinidad and Tobago. And then they listed the net worth of the person. And then they listed the origins of their wealth, their current wealth. It was disgusting that in all but one case, the origin of this incredible wealth was, guess what? Politics. Politics. I didn't know politics was a wealth generating endeavor. But there it was, right? You know, for the whole world to see. This is how we make money. By engaging, obviously, in rather questionable practices disguised as politics. So it dawned on me how widespread the conduct that we are experiencing in the United States, how widespread it is all over the world. The United States serving as the beacon, as the example of how to live, how to achieve great things. It is not through hard work. It is not through application of your energies and efforts. It is simply being in politics, where you are part of a machine that is all about illegal stuff. It creates multi-millionaires, and in the case of Trinidad, a couple of billionaires. Where is the wealth generated? In politics. Do you understand how bizarre that is? That the country has reached a stage where it doesn't mind admitting that this is what it is. This is how you get rich. You enter politics, which is a swamp. So we're going to talk about this today. What is going on with us? That we, for the most part, of course, I recognize, and we cannot forget that there are people who are still, you know, holding their hands to the wheel. But the vast majority of the people who say they have a different consciousness aren't doing very much. And they are allowing, that is, that they are aiding and abetting a society that has gone off the rails. And at least from the way I see it, there's no immediate solution in play. We'll take this break, come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. We'll be joining you in your thoughts right after this break. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. Before we start with the phone calls, I just want to remind you, this is very important, and it's becoming more and more important as we go. And that is on the 26th of May, Sunday the 26th of May, I've been invited by the Global Committee, Global Affairs Committee of Community Church in Manhattan to give an address, and that's what I will endeavor to do. It's going to be at 1 o'clock on that day with registration, just meaning you sign up and say that you were here. It would help me to follow through with people I haven't seen or met personally, but I know they support the program, and I know they support the objectives of the program. So we are having a kind of gathering on that day, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you there. Again, the talk will start at 1 o'clock with registration at 12:30. I want to stress that this is not a fundraiser, and it is an effort to just come together and meet and build community that we have here on the radio, but it would be so good to see your face and to attach a picture of your face to your name. So that's great. The church is located at 40 East 35th Street, and that is between Park Avenue and Madison Avenue in Manhattan. I really would love to see you there. Bring a friend. And let's just have a good time together, meeting each other in person. All right, so we move on to our discussion for today. Ed from Queens, you start us off.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you?
Still here, hanging on by my thumbnail.
Disappointing your enemies, huh?
Yes, disappointing my enemies, and they are numerous. So I've been told. I agree with you. I have a little different take on it as far as this country and its moral state. First of all, I just wanted to get the date for the talk you're giving at 40th Street, East 40th, 30th Street. What's the date?
It's May the 26th. That's Sunday. And it's at 40 East 35th Street, and is at the community church.
I got that. Just didn't get the date. Pardon me. But well, like I was saying, this country is steeped. It, unfortunately, there are a lot of high ideals and high morals and platitudes that were written by the founding fathers. But this country is steeped in a double history. It's steeped in a history of theft. It's by betraying the people that were here once they helped the people that got here and taking their land.
Right.
And it's steeped in...
All right, I just want you to move to where we are now. We are experiencing, would you not agree, a major problem.
Well,
in that We don't know where we're going. And in some cases, we aren't going anywhere. So what is happening as you see it, and what should we be doing?
Well, I mean, it's like anything. I'm a mechanic by trade, engineer, and when a system has reached a certain amount of corruption, there's only one choice. That is to get rid of the system and start new. And it's going to be a Herculean effort. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's not something that's going to happen with popular accord. It's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to be painful. And I don't believe the American people are ready for it. The only thing that motivates this historically, that motivates this populace, is tragedy. And things have got to get a lot worse before they get better. I mean, as long
All
as you
right,
can
so let me ask
constantly.
you, you personally, in your personal life and in your the politics that you practice, what is going to change and how soon?
Well, I mean, from a personal aspect, I've changed. I mean, I've put myself out there more than I have normally to try and deal with things on a local level because I believe all politics are local. I've involved myself in the election board here. I've involved myself in council meetings here. And it's going to take morality. And a lot of people don't know what morality means anymore because this society has poo-pooed it so much that what they, for want of a better word, to get the bad culture. As long as I'm okay, I don't care what happens to you. The capitalist idea. And it permeates society. And it's going to take people of virtue, you know, not to toot my own horn or anything, but you got to make a stand. And it's going to be uncomfortable. It's a process. It took a long time. It took a long time for this country to get, and the people in this country to get this way. And it's going to be a process of resistance. The best example I can see in the modern world is the yellow vest in France. You know, got to get out there. You got to make it uncomfortable for these people who are making a profit off of this degraded system, so they'll stop. And that's the only road to change. And I don't think that we've reached a critical mass of people that are willing to make that sacrifice, to be disliked, to stand for something and not fall for anything. And I don't mean to fall on cliches. That's the best way I can express it. You got to stand up and be counted, you know. And if it means that, hey, your life, you know, so be it. Because if we don't, with 5G, with what this idiot in the White House is doing, with what's going on around him, and the lack of testicular fortitude to confront him, I mean, what's the point? I've got friends overseas. America's a laughing stock. Because, you know, you've got a guy who's blatantly obstructing justice, having it written about in a 400-page report that took over a year, and nobody's saying anything. Or just wait, we'll vote him out. And the only opposition is how many now? 20, 22 prospective candidates on the Democratic side. I mean, you know, what? It's a farce. It's a joke. You couldn't write a better Saturday Night Live script than this. You got a criminal enterprise and a bunch of idiots trying to take them out. And they themselves are criminal. So, I mean, you know, it's difficult, but it's going to take people of moral character to stand up and just make it tough. And I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but I see it's got to get much worse before it gets any better.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for your analysis today. Moki from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Greetings, Utrice.
Thank you to you too.
And salutations to you and the listening audience, the community.
Thank you.
So, on this topic, a gentleman named Chris Hedges gave a speech in Oregon in 2017 called Stopping Fascism. And he quoted an early theologian named Paul Tillich, who wrote, all institutions are inherently demonic. So that suggests that they have to be tweaked, you know, starting with, say, the Roman Catholic Church and all the Protestant churches, if they're not tweaked, they simply default to what Tillich said was demonism. So, getting back to the fact that, starting with his reality show, we see that that his base and a lot of the electorate, and all over the world, they worship celebrity. False idols, in my opinion. So, the people in America wanted George Washington to be the king. And I feel that every presidency has been slouching back to king.
Let's deal with the issue at hand as I laid it out. And what concentrating on is the current reality that we're in. Never mind so much how we got here, but recognizing that here is where we are. Now, what do we do?
Well, we realize that a public official is supposed to do his or her job and not enrich themselves due to opportunities that are created. That's why I said the thing about institutions being inherently demonic. There's this room for error, to put it nicely. And that's the way the system works. But I want to remind you that the president's just supposed to do his job. He is the president, which is really a fancy way of saying presider. So commander-in-chief or not, he's supposed to execute the will of the people through the legislature.
Okay, but can't we agree that he's not? He's not doing that job. I ask you, what do we do now that we have arrived at this point? What do we do?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you ask that question, Eutrice. So I'm not prepared.
Yeah. What do we do? What is the alternative? And why is it that in the face we've had 2+ years, I'm not counting the years before he became president, but we've had enough time to come to some kind of conclusion about this president and his administration. But more importantly, in as much as we are talking about politics and we have some idea of our own politics, what do we do?
Well, a lot of folks say take to the streets. What I say is occupy town hall, town by town. In Connecticut, 169 towns, meaning it has to be started locally, the grassroots. The point to that is, if I'm to assume that my town administration is corrupt, which in my opinion it is, then the only way to deal with them is to overtake the town hall by the presence of our bodies, not just petitions, and go from there, Eutrice, with referendums. We must first beat the town, then town by town we beat the state, and then it's the only way, it's the only dynamic that will work, because all the other dynamics have been compromised.
Any indication so far that the more progressive elements in your town, or even the radical elements in your town, find that this is a time to act? We cannot wait anymore.
Yes, we can't even talk anymore. We must get up off of our butts and make our, bring our bodies to the institution, which is assumedly inherently demonic. I know I'm overstating that, but the only way to we have to face them down right from the bottom up. It's the only solution. We have to tweak. If they won't tweak themselves to not default into that position, taking advantage of every type of game and gimmick they can, who will? So it's going to take, at first, it always does, a few brave souls. I heard that Castro started with 10 people in a boat. Some brave individuals have to take the time to go to town hall. And the only way to address this laundry list of problems, 5G, mandatory vaccinations, weather modification, you can't go to the agency that's responsible, so to speak, for those situations. You have to start from the bottom to make your, we have to make our will known to the people who work for us as public officials. Again, we have to stop admiring and even worshiping celebrity, because we make that's what public figures, including politicians, achieve the status of celebrity, and then they become Teflon.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your thoughts today. You've certainly given us some things to think about. Thank you so much, Moki. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family. It's certainly a pertinent question, because it seems like, you know, Bolton has always wanted to go to war with Iran, and Israel is pushing that, and we know how Trump feels about, they always get their way with Trump, Israel does. But one idea that I have, and, you know, in light of your being so removed from these politicians, you know, it's easy to get discouraged. But one idea is to, and even if you're, you know, media savvy, the internet gives everyone a platform to write and to YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things that I have with, that I want to try to connect with, the first people who called for impeachment, Brad Sherman from California, Al Green, Maxine Ward, is they seem to be missing something that I want to kind of fill them in on, and that is the reason why they came up with it, I would think, so early is because they've admitted the lying. I heard former Watergate prosecutors say that Nixon, that, you know, they had all the impeachments, what they call that, platform lined up, and one was lying to the public. And Trump, you know, this whole normalization of he and his administration and the Republicans, you know, just lying about anything and everything. So that should be included. The other thing I think they've missed is important to lay out the danger is that his reckless rhetoric. You know, the 100 mass shootings in 117 days, the bomber, the other massacre guys, they always, a lot of them have connected language of the invasion, of the immigrants, and, you know, so somehow they seem to have missed those two things. I mean, they didn't even have to really
what
wait.
What I'm asking, though, is we are here in a particular, you know, like that when you get to the elevator, it says, you are here. We are here at a particular point that requires us to react in accordance with what we say we represent and what we say we honor. What is it then? And when do we start practicing what we preach?
That's your question.
That's the question.
Well, you know, it seems that it seems like it's somewhat beyond our reach because things are so bad in certain respects and dangerous, you know, with the incoherence, the pathological lying, and on, that, you know, you're racking your brain almost to figure out. I'm going to reach out to those because we know that he's done another thing now where he's just refused to respond to any requests or subpoena from Congress, and that's across the board. And, you know, Nixon was at least doing it on a case-by-case basis. So,
but let's concentrate less, for the purposes of our discussion, on Donald Trump. Let's talk about what it is that we have to confront within our community about Donald Trump.
Well, one of the things that I'm seeing that we need to deal with is that we're so maybe despondent or depressed or whatever it is, but I see people actually modeling the tone and the anger and, you know, the spin and the lies. And so, you know, somehow we have to become more cohesive because, you know, it's like they're going in the opposite wrong direction, maybe even unconsciously. So that's one of the things I think we have to educate each other and, you know, explain the dangers of anger, especially when you don't, you know, you're just running down your body and you're not getting any positive change or result.
In your view, are the entities that we are supporting as a community, the Green Party, the Liberal Party, the Democratic Party, are they really communicating to their constituencies that they understand what's going on and they're doing something about it, and they want involvement, they want a partnership, they want help? Are you getting a sense that this is something that is a conscious effort with them right now?
No.
Well, that answers the question. We are good at pointing out where the problems are, and it's never us. What happens when the problem is also us? And in this scenario, what are we finding out? What is going on? Why is there such a resistance to inviting people and joining people in actions that would achieve the results that we're looking for, which is a sane government, a just government? That's the ultimate issue. So thank you so much, Matt, for putting those ideas on the table. We've come to the end of our program today, but we haven't come to the end of our discussion. And I think it is important for us to discuss it because it is also important, even as we point the finger outward and we point out what other people are not doing or should be doing, what is the problem within our own ranks? Why do we see at this time, when the situation is so critical, we're not getting a sense of a partnership here? And it should bother us. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.